When Paul started his letter to the Philippians, I thought this was great. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. And I can definitely say, we will always stay together, amen? We will always remember one another. In fact, Paul once in a while would miss meeting with the churches, and he would get called here and there. The difference between Jen and I is we won't get called to Macedonia. We just get called to Cedar City, and then when we're on our way back, we plan to stop by and see and hear and spend time with everybody. We won't be far, amen? And of course, if you're in Vegas, you let us know. Don't come to Sin City, though. Come expecting it to be Grace City, amen? Because where sin abound, grace has increased all the more. But Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. So we will continue to pray for one another. Amen. Our prayers will just be coming from a little bit farther that way, not very far at all. And we will be praying for you all the time because we love you. And it says here, because of your partnership in the gospel. Amen. I probably think, I would imagine if I finished Bible college in 2003, I would imagine Pastor Dave was probably having me come in and fill in for Pastor Russ Goodrum. Anybody remember Pastor Russ Goodrum out here at New Hope? Pastor Russ Goodrum, when he needed a day off or he was up to Reno or whatever he was doing, a little vacation, we were coming out here. I'd probably imagine mid to late 2000s. So this church has always been in our hearts, always will be. And we praise God that he brings all the right things together. But it says here, but being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion. Praise God for his goodness. Amen. So this morning, as we look here in 2 Timothy, this will be our scripture today. I'm going to jump around a little bit. But we're going to make it fun, okay? We'll have some songs. I was thinking to do it here on my phone, but I decided not to put the music up to the mic. So we'll plan on... I'll sing some songs. Why not? But we're going to look at 2 Timothy here. One of them secular, so get ready. But we're going to still make it fun. The title of this sermon, Breathing God's Word. We want to remember that we... How many times have you been getting people speaking words into your life on this phone lately? All of the politicians or all of the ads, people just breathing words into our life. Well, we are the ones called to breathe God's Word into the world. Amen? And that's the truth. And that's why we're going to look at 2 Timothy 3. And I marked down here, and I am jumping around a little bit, but I'll make it easy on you. Oh, well, we're recorded, so we can go back and listen anytime we want if we want to grab these scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17. I remember the old days, my grandma would be writing everything down. It's almost like just taking notes like a court reporter. But 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17 says this. You, however, he's speaking to Timothy, Paul's speaking to Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and the persecutions I endured there, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Hallelujah. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Wow, what a thing to say. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Don't you love this passage of Scripture? Now I'm going to shoot over to 4, 1 through 5, right below it. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. He's speaking this into Timothy's life. He's breathing this into Timothy's life. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with the great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Lord, thank you for this word, Lord, as we breathe truth into this world, Lord. Even as it says evil goes from worse to worse in our world, we will remember who we are called to be, servants and ministers of God's word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, pretty interesting passage of scripture. And it begins to make me think sometimes, even like right now when we see all the ads on our TV, have you heard any of the ads and thought, now that's a lie? That's not true. It's almost as though truth becomes a very gray area, but not with Jesus, amen? Not with Jesus. I used to have a renegade on my staff. Boy, she knew how to play the system. Have you ever known someone like that? They just know how to grab all. It's like, are you working here? Or do you just find all the ways to just like use the system to not be here? When I was running a store at the Wynn, I was a Wynn employee at that time. We had a point system. Anybody could use a point for whatever they wanted to. It's typically supposed to be used for sick days. But one point would count for 3 days off because they're assuming you need time to get well. That's how the hotel looked at it. So almost said her name. So Jay, I'll just say letter J, she knew how to plug in that point and make her 2 days off into 5 days off. It would never work out any other way but that way. Either before or after the days off, that's when she would use that point. And I'm thinking, I don't get the luxury just to take 5 days straight. I mean, that's like a vacation, isn't it? And if you're allowed a bunch of points, you could literally plug these in and really abuse the system and hardly show up to work. And this is one thing that got on my nerves. But since we're talking about songs earlier this morning, if she had a song like that was the credo of her life, I began to think her song would have been this. I don't care what you say anymore, this is my life. Go ahead with your own life, let me use my points and leave me alone. But you know what? There's no honor in that, amen? Especially when we don't think about other people. We don't think how that affects people. So when I began to think about it, if I had a song for my life, I thought about this morning as we were driving here. I think my song that I would choose for my life instead of that song would be when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. I like this part. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Do you know it? Let's do it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Isn't that a good call? It's good for us to remember to trust and obey who? Jesus. Not our own voice that comes in into our lives. We are called to trust Jesus. But you know what people don't want? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen. Isn't that what Paul said to Timothy? They want to hear what their itching ears have to hear. So this attitude, when you think about it, they don't want to hear advice. This attitude's very evident in the world. But may it be far from God's people to ever not want advice, amen? We are here to listen to God's Spirit. Isn't that what we just sang? Now is the time to worship. Now is the time to listen to God's Spirit. We have to stop and ask ourselves every once in a while, whose life am I living? Am I living my own, or am I living the life of Jesus? Because that's where strength is found. And God's word says that in the last days, there will be godlessness everywhere. Do you believe that? Everywhere. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. I'm going to go back just to the beginning of 2 Timothy 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Do you believe that, church? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godlessness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Someone said something to my daughter that she didn't appreciate, and she told me, I hate that person. And I said, actually, the Lord put you in our family. He put you in a family of two parents that went to Bible college, and He put you in a family that serves the Lord. What does God's word say, sweetheart? God's word says we are to forgive just as God forgave us. And what is your obligation to forgive? 7 times 70, if you can do the math. That's our obligation to forgive. And not only that, but when you forgive, you're showing spiritual maturity, sweetheart. That means that you are trusting and obeying God and what He said. And you are becoming a young woman of God. And this is why forgiveness is a gift. And you can offer that at any time. So, it's good to be able to listen to God's word, amen, because we don't want to be the ones that are like that. Evil men and imposters going from bad to worse, deceiving, being deceived. But if evil is ever increasing, do we believe it is? If evil is ever increasing, it's time for God's people to take a stand and increase God's breath, amen. I'm talking about this. What I told my daughter is nothing new when it comes to this. This is where I got it from. And now this becomes a part of her heart. She didn't want to hear it. But guess what? She did. She did. But we also want to be very careful of these, amen? How much influence comes through this. The current generation, they grow up with this in their hands. They're born with these practically in their hand. iPads and iPods and blah, 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 blah. There's so many influences. But we can remember that the most greatest influence we can give people is God's word. And then it's in God's word, truly, that we find strength. So, let me tell you a story about strength. There was a little boy named Willie. He was 9 years old. This was in 2014. Willie was a 9-year-old little boy in Atlanta, Georgia. And he's just outside playing. Little Willie's doing his thing. And one guy pulled up with some money in his hand and said, little kid, if you come help me with directions, I will give you this money because I'm lost and I need to definitely make sure that I get where I'm going. Is there any way you can help me? When Willie went next to that car, this little 9-year-old boy, that man grabbed him and pulled him into the car. And Willie found himself abducted because he was playing by himself. Well, the interesting thing is, as that man had kidnapped little Willie and began to drive him away, Willie, who grew up in the church, his family was very involved in the church. All Willie could think to do was begin to worship God in the car with the kidnapper. And little Willie, his favorite song was by Hezekiah Walker. Have you heard of Hezekiah Walker? His favorite song was this. And as the guy's driving away and locked the doors on Willie and he's driving him away, Willie began to sing this. He said, every praise is to our God. Every word of worship if one accord. Every praise is to our God. And then little Willie busted this out. God my Savior. God my healer. God my deliverer. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. After 2 hours, that guy opened the door and said, get out. And you know why he did that? The kidnapper knew God's church from
when he was a young child, and he couldn't take it. Amen? The Holy Spirit spoke to that man's heart, and he was forced to pull over and let that little boy out. Hezekiah Walker went to their church, heard the whole story, and they sang the song together. The song that saved little Willie's life. Now that is strength, amen? Released. God used worship to save. Hallelujah. And I wanted to remind you today that he does rescue, amen? No matter how bad the world is getting, the Lord rescues, praise God. So our first point this morning is this. If you look at our first point this morning is this. You realize that your Bible is not a book by man. How many times have you heard people say that it is? It really is not a book by man, but it is from the very breath of God. Do you believe that, church? God can use anybody he wants, amen? God used little Willie to touch the heart of a kidnapper that grew up in church and went astray. God can use anybody, which is good for you because he can use you and he will, amen? Realize that the Bible, it's not a human book, but it's the very breath of God. In Greek, it's considered, in the Greek word, theonoustos, which means God breathed, inspired by God, or the inspiration of God. So, one minister says this, these are actually God's words reminding us that his truth and love can be found to guide us in all aspects of life. How many times do we realize we need advice in all aspects of life? We try to do it on our own, and what happens? Chaos. Oh, Lord, save us from ourselves. James has the final word, though, about the nature of Scripture when he says, every good and perfect gift is coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I like that part because you know what? Yesterday, I was weird. I was crabby. I didn't know why. The kids were asking me, Janice asking me, are you sad today? And I said, I am neither happy nor sad. I'm just blah. Isn't that weird? My moods shift like shadows. One day I'm feeling great. Have you ever been there? And one day I'm like, I'm just got a weird vibe today. I'm pretty sure mine was tied to a lack of sleep. Sometimes I just don't sleep good. Anybody else here? Like sleep is always an interesting vibe for me. I just don't know what's going to happen. Especially Jana bought me this new blanket. That thing was, it's like rabbit fur. It's all over the place. It's falling on the floor. I'm like, it's the slipperiest thing ever. I keep waking up and readjusting. Thanks a lot, honey. Just kidding. I thanked her for the blanket. She's like, it's so soft. It just flies everywhere. Pshoo, gone. So I spent most of the night just trying to readjust it. But that's probably why I was in a funky vibe. But it says here, the Lord does not change like shifting shadows. Stable, steady, hallelujah. Out of all the books that I've come across, where are my readers? Who are my readers? Out of all the books I've read in college and personal and fun and on, the most important book will always be right here. Right here. This is the most important one. And I've gone through a lot of cool books too that are really fun to read, but the one that will matter the most in the next decades of my life will always be this one. Hallelujah. God breathes Scripture. He breathes it into us, and we are to do what? Breathe it into a fallen world and begin to put God's truth there. Kylie one time told me, you know what, Dad? The Lord spoke to me. I think she's about 7 years old. The Lord spoke to me, Dad, and he does not want me to go to school. He wants me to stay home. And I said, dear, I am so glad that the Lord speaks to you. I'm so glad to know that he speaks to you and you're willing to obey. However, he just told me, you're getting in my car and you're going to school. So we're on our way. Grab your backpack. So anyways, I just think it's such a funny moment to remember that sometimes when people say God says this or that, we have to remember it has to line up with God's word. Amen? We have to remember that. Our second point this morning is this. God's word, when you think about it, it's not open to debate. How many times do we want to debate it? Lord, I don't like this part. I want to take this part out. I want to do this or that. You know, I'll tell you honestly, the book that I've always struggled with most when I think, gosh, I just don't know about this whole book. Like, I just don't know if I'm, like, so comfortable with this. Guess what book? Old Testament. Job. Job is wild. Job is so wild. But it's always nice to have a challenge, amen? What if it was all so easy? Doesn't always have to be so easy. Job for me was very, very wild. But for me, it's not open to debate or modification, amen? I'm here to let Scripture speak. I'm not here to speak Scripture other than what it says. I let Scripture shape me. I don't shape it, amen? And a lot of times, that's what people want to do. In fact, in the Assemblies of God, just so you know, some years ago, there was a policy that came out from this governing board called the Evangelical World Mission. They wanted to begin to infuse current culture into the church. And you know what our superintendent said? George Wood, he passed away recently, but guess what George Wood said? He said, nope, we will no longer support you. In fact, I got to tell you, what you're saying is not consistent with the authority of Scripture, and we can affirm only the beliefs and the authority of Scripture. Big shot, George Wood. Pastor Dave's buddy. I thought that was really awesome. Man's law will come into conflict with God's law, but in the end, there's only one victor. Hallelujah. And it's going to be the Lord. But when you talk about spiritual modification, John says it perfectly in Revelation. He says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. We all know this in Revelation, don't we? If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from the book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life in the holy city, which are described in this book. That's a great warning from John that basically Scripture's not up for a debate or modification ever. Pastor Russ, when he was here in New Hope, and then for a while he was next to our condo in Vegas at Epic Church. And Pastor Russ, he said one time, many people doubt Bible's authority. They doubt the authority as a book that's just written by men. And we might have had that idea before in the past as we became Christians, right? We might have thought that too. But he says this, but I say, rather, the world needs to doubt the world's authority as a lie by Satan. And God gives free will, doesn't he? God gives free will. He doesn't make robots. He doesn't make AI that's infused to just say what it's designed to say. He gives free will. Kylie said one time when little Ryan was getting baptized at like 8 or 9 years old, she said, is this the day that Rye gets hypnotized? But we're not hypnotized like robots, are we? We have the freedom of God, amen? If you're hypnotized, you don't really have a choice. Do this, do that, I'm going to snap, you're going to do this, you're going to wake up, blah, blah, blah. God doesn't do that. He gives us free will. And part of our free will is to choose God and choose His Word. Not open for debate, not open for modification. Amen. When we find ourselves trying to modify Scripture, stop yourself, check yourself, ask for forgiveness. Amen. Our third point is this. We'll put it up here. You need to begin to safeguard Scripture in your heart. Hold it there. Keep it there. Don't let it be shaken. Amen? Because we need to remember to continue to serve God in a big way throughout our life and not to wander from it. Amen? We cannot... Have you ever wandered from God's Word? Have you ever been that wanderer? We've all done it probably. I know I have. I took a break on the Lord for like 8 years. My life got so bad. Until all I could do was go, oh my goodness, I need you, Lord. Forgive me. I'm so terrible. And I ran back to the church. My brother's mom, why do I say it that way? Because my brother's my half-brother, and his mom, our father's first wife, she moved out here to Vegas in the 80s, maybe late 70s. That's how I ended up out here. She invited me to come to Vegas, and my brother invited me to come to UNLV, and I stayed in 1992. But my brother's mom, a few years back, got cancer and was told she only has 8 months to live. And my brother said, brother, please come pray with my mom. She's not going to make it. She's been given 8 months. She's pretty angry, and I want to make sure that she is in heaven when she passes. So I went over there. I went over to her house. Love her so much. She's a wonderful person. Always been great to me, my kids, my family. And the interesting thing is she grew up in the church as a young girl, and then she just took a decades long break on the Lord. She just didn't. She grew up with it and then just left it and didn't come back. She just wandered away. But with 8 months to live, where does she turn? What if the Lord was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you kind of just took too many years off. I'm just not going to be there for you. What if he did that? He is the God of the last moment. Isn't that amazing? 7 times 70, forgiveness, strength, peace, whatever you need, he's there for you. Praise God. So we can't wander from God-breathed scripture. Amen. We need to safeguard it in our heart. So what did I do? I said, let's sing a song. Her name is Nancy. I said, let's sing a song, Nancy, because I love singing worship songs. And I sang this one to her. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. I thought this was good for her. Then he'll call me someday to his home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. Let's sing it. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. She just sang that out, started crying. We prayed the sinner's prayer. We brought her back into God's family and kingdom. And I have to tell you, it was such a good remembrance that God will honor those that come contrite to him. Amen. And I pulled this up for my daughter too. I said, what's contrite? True remorse over what we've done. Amen. We come to him. But I wanted to mention that today because many years were stolen from Nancy's life, and it wasn't the work of the Lord. Amen. When she left the Lord, that was not the Lord's work. That was the work of somebody else. So what the Lord has given his people, don't ever let the devil steal. Amen. Don't let him take the years. You stay close to the Lord and tell him what your years are going to look like. Blessed, victorious, forgiven. You tell the devil, I like my future. Yours is looking pretty bleak though, dude. So I tell you today, the world will want us to change with the times, to be up to date. Yesterday, my neighbor got locked out of her AOL account. She's probably born in the 1930s. She had no idea how to get back in. And I said, don't you worry, Barbara. You don't have to stay up to the times. You got me. Let me come help you. I had her up and running in probably 2 minutes. I was surprised, too, because I'm from the 70s. I'm not always totally, you know, prone to knowing how to do all these gadgety things. But that one was pretty easy for me. But whatever's going on that's new in the world, who cares? Amen? I urge you today, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? It's time for God's people to get into God's Word. So let's think about that. R-E-A-D, read. R, be ready. Be ready to read every day. Deuteronomy says this, it is to be with him and he is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere God, the Lord. We are to read God's Word. E for equip. Equip yourself for right living. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're to equip yourself. Romans. A, apply. Apply what you read. Revelation says, blessed is the one who reads and hears God's word and takes to heart what is written in it. D for direct. Direct your life in the direction of the Lord. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The Psalms. That is the kind of relationship we are to have with God's word. Hallelujah. Our last point this morning is this, as we get ready to close. Be equipped for God's word to work through you. Be ready for God's work to work through you. Are you ready to be used by God next year in a big way? Are you ready to be used? Giving the world God's word is our greatest responsibility. Amen. We are to give God's word to those that need it. It's a gift that we can offer. A lot of gifts are going to be changing place soon, right? As we get closer to Christmas. Are you thinking about Christmas gifts? The greatest gift we can give people, hallelujah, is letting God use us to impact somebody's life. Paul tells the church in Ephesus this way as we close. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He's scheming, little punk. He is a schemer. But it says here, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What? Forces of evil in the heavenly realms? That's exactly what he just said. Surprising? Not only that, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, stand firm with the sword of the Spirit, which is right here. Sha, sha, sha. We are to speak God's word and be ready, be ready. Let me tell you about this guy from UC Riverside. He thought I was going to kill him. He's this drunk kid wandering around the Encore Hotel at my hotel, and I thought, this dude is in bad shape. I was on my way home. His name was Chris. He was a German student. And I said, young man, are you lost? He said, yeah, I lost my friends. I had way too much to drink. I don't know how to find my hotel. I am an out-of-country student from California. I'm from Germany, and I don't know Vegas. I'm actually saying it nice for you because he was so drunk, it was crazy. And I said, Chris, I'm one of the managers here at the hotel. Would you mind if I safely drove you to your hotel, at least dropped you off at the right hotel? Because he was wandering into ours, not knowing where he was. And he said, yeah, I would actually appreciate that. The name of my hotel is, I forgot what it was. I can't remember the name. And I said, I think I know where that is. It's the one where Elvis used to sing. What did they call that one? The Intercontinental. And then we called it Hilton. I don't know what it is today. So I got him in my car. And he's sitting there. And he said, you're not going to kill me, are you? And I said, Chris, the world might want to kill you. The devil might want to kill you. The devil's demons might want to kill you. But I have good news for you, Chris. I studied to be in ministry, so you're in the right hands. I serve the Lord, so I think, if anything, you won't be getting killed tonight, but maybe we can pray and kill your sin and then send you safely back to your hotel room. And he said, you know what? My parents raised me as a Christian, and I know better than to drink this much. I said, praise God. The Lord has already shown up, Chris. You're not going to get killed. You're going to begin to start a new chapter. Just hopefully, let's pray that you'll be sober enough to remember this night, amen? That we talked about God's goodness as I drove you back to the hotel. But the world, when you think about it, it would like to kill a lot of people. It would like to kill God's word out of our heart. It would like to kill so many things with all of its new ideas. No, the Bible's outdated and blah, 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 blah. But you know what? I'll never forget a Swiss watchmaker once told me, nothing has changed. Nothing is new. And in Scripture, nothing has changed. Nothing is new. It's the same today as it will be tomorrow and into the future. So Mr. Wynn decided to buy a Popeye statue for the hotel. Anybody like Popeye? Do you remember Popeye? And we were told this Popeye statue he's buying is $28 million. A $28 million statue of Popeye. Made by this artist. I don't know much about art, so I was kind of unfamiliar with the name, but made by an artist named Jeff Koons. Jeff Koons is a big shot in the art world, now I know, but I didn't know at the time. And here comes to the hotel Popeye. Shipped in one day, delivered right into the hotel, and I went to look at it. Taller than me, big Popeye with his You know, that look and the little pipe sticking out, and he's squeezing spinach and spinach is spilling out, and he's got the other arm really big with the anchor. And I'm thinking, what a waste of money. This is absolutely ridiculous. And when it arrived, Mr. Wynn gave this little, little speech. And he said, when I look at this statue, I'm always reminded, I'm strong to the finish because I eats me spinach. But you know what's interesting for God's people? You don't have to spend $28 million to find strength like Popeye does. You only have to spend like $20 or $25 or even get just a free Bible from church. And even if it costs you under $40, you can finish strongly in your life, no matter how many years the Lord gives us, just by staying in God's Word and having that strength. Amen? That is the goodness of Scripture. The Bible costs so little, if it even costs anything, but the strength is unfathomable. Amen? You could have hardly any cost here, but $28 million strength. That could be the goodness of the Lord. Amen? So, as we finish this morning, remember the miracles God can do in lives. Hallelujah. Remember strongly. And we will praise God in this next phase for new hope, that strength will be nothing but found here. Hallelujah. Right here in this beautiful area of Overton and Logandale. This is the place of strength. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and pray over this church. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for you are reminding us this day how much the world changes, but how you do not. Hallelujah. We remember and declare today that this book that will be in our hearts more and more each day is not a human book, but it is very, very inspired by you, only inspired by your Spirit. Hallelujah. And Father, we recognize today that we won't debate it, we won't modify it, but we will listen to it, we will trust and obey. Hallelujah. And not only that, Lord, but we are reminded that we will safeguard your word in our heart. We won't let it be stolen. We won't give the devil a chance to steal your word out of our hearts. In fact, we'll just tell him to be quiet in the name of Jesus and flee when we ever feel those moments coming. And lastly, this morning, Lord, we ask you to continue to equip us, Lord. Equip us and use us in a mighty way. Bless this church, Lord God, in this next chapter that you have for Overton. Bring us back. Whenever Pastor Jeremy needs a day off, Lord, let him get on the phone and call. Hallelujah. And Father, we look forward to times of being together again very soon, worshiping together and remembering your goodness. And Father, I thank you and ask a special blessing over this church in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's spend time together and enjoy a nice, cloudy, cooler day.